We are in the middle of Pasuk. We are in the middle of Pasuk Tes Zayin. Karchi v'goyzi al b'nei tanu goyach. Okay, we are in the middle of these psukim. Let's just focus a little bit more on Pasuk Tes Zayin. Pull out your hair. V'goyzi karchi means pull out with your hands. V'goyzi means with an implement, a tool. Al b'nei tanu goyach, over your children. I'm on page 460, Perek Aleph, the last Pasuk of Perek Aleph. Widen your bolts, but like a nesher, because your children have gone into exile. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's look over here. We learned already. Let's see the mitzudos David and pasuk kezayin. We did the mitzudos. Let's see the Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rashi here quickly. Karchi. Karchi roshech, pull out the hair on your head. V'goizi, sarech. K'may vayogos es roshay. These are two words. L'shoin t'lishas se'ar. These two words are used in reference to pulling out hair. Kanesher kitarguma kinishra din saru chanfoihi. Like an eagle. Okay, I'm loosely translating the word nesh as an eagle whose wings have been plucked out. Derech haneshar limroit roif kinafav. It is the derech of a nesher to pluck out the majority of its wings. Is that really true with regard to the nesh that we call the eagle today? Not necessarily, and that's why there's such a discussion as what is the word nesher. What exactly is the nesher? Is the nesher truly a creature that we are familiar with today? Is it the eagle, the bald eagle? Is it a vulture? Is it a mystical creature? Vo'ese eschem al kanfei nishorim vo'avi eschem eloi. Hashem took us on the nesher and He brought us to Eretz Yisrael vo'avi eschem eloi. That is the creature that Hashem uses to describe how He will bring us near. And here we learn about the nesher. The nesher, we learn a little bit, maybe give a bit of an insight as to why Kadosh Baruch Hu is comparing us, is taking us on the wings of a nesher. Because the nesher, now it's not exactly what it says here in the pasuk. The nesher, we just see in the pasuk, says that the nesher pulls out its hair. Now it does not say why it pulls out its hair. If we put the beginning of the pasuk together with the end of the pasuk, it would appear, I don't know if this is true, what I'm saying is correct, is that from all of the creatures in this world, the creature that mourns the most over the loss of its children is a nesher. Again, one more to the pasuk, karchi, v'goyzi al b'nei tanugoyach. The pasuk here refers to children. Tanugoyach, what is delightful, what gives you tainug, your children. Here, the Navi is telling Klal Yisrael, you're going to mourn deeply over the loss of children to the degree where you're going to rip out your hair. Harchivi korcho seich, widen your bald spot. Kanesher, like a nesher. Now, I don't know what this means. Seemingly, you can suggest that by comparing it to the nesher, if the beginning of the pasuk is describing mourning and baldness over in agony, in mourning over the loss of children, it would appear that the nesher is such a creature. Is a creature when it discovers that its children are missing in action, it goes into a very, very deep state in mourning, where it rips out most of its wings. Now, the eagle that we know of today, do we find the eagle ripping out its wings? I never heard of such a thing. Okay, I didn't really do much research, but I don't recall such a concept of an eagle ripping out its wings. So you'll say, well, it's not the eagle. The eagle, Chazal tell us, the Mefarshim tell us that the word Nesher is not an eagle. It's a certain type of vulture, maybe it's some other exotic creature for various reasons. All right, whatever it is, but I'm not familiar that there are such creatures out there that rip out their wings. Maybe there are. But if you take the pasuk at face value, it seems to be saying that there's a creature that's called a nesher. It has beautiful wings, but when the nesher is in a matzav of mourning, its behavior is extreme. much more so than other creatures, to the degree that it rips out its own wings. Now, when you take that idea, if that idea is true, and you pluck it into the pasuk, okay, pluck, pun intended, into the pasuk, vo'eso eschem al kanfei nishorim, vo'avi eschem eloi, it opens up a whole new world of understanding, interpretation. Why did Hashem select the Nesher at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim to be the metaphor, to be the metaphor of a creature that's going to bring Klal Yisrael to Hashem? And the answer is, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, Bini B'chayri Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the child of Hashem. Hashem loves us. Hashem uses terms of endearment as a father and a child. And Hashem wants to bring us close to Him. He's using the metaphor of a nesher, not just a nesher, the wings of a nesher. Now, after the Golus is over, after Hashem has witnessed us, our suffering for so many years, the loss of so many members of Klal Yisrael, and now we're dealing with the survivors, and Hashem is being reunited with His children. So Hashem takes the creature that expresses the greatest degree of suffering over the loss of children. The Nesher, who suffers over the loss of children to the degree where it rips out its wings. Oh, now that the children are here, are present to be reunited with their father, the wings grow back. The wings are not going to be plucked out anymore. The wings are going to remain healthy, strong, full of hair, full of feathers. Vo'eso eschem al kanfei nishorim vo'avi eschem eloi, the golus is over. You only can appreciate the pasuk in the Yitzias Mitzrayim when you read this pasuk. If you're not going to learn Micha and you're not going to read pasuk Tezayin, Karchi v'goyziel b'nei tanu goyich, your delightful children mecharchiv v'karchosech kanesher ki galu mimech. Only then, when it comes to geula, the opposite of galus, the geula of the bonim atem Hashem lokeichem b'nei b'chari Yisrael, does the whole pasuk come to light. Oh, now I understand why the kanfei nisharim. Okay, you don't have to come on to the old drush. Oh, it's referring to Yimos HaMashiach when we have airplanes, and the airplanes, Boeing 787, looks like a Nesher or an Airbus or this or that. You don't have to come on to all that drush. There's something so much more fundamental that brings the pasuk to life when you read the pasuk over here. Who would ever expect a pasuk in the middle of Treyaser would come and open up wide understanding of what is the Nesher and its relationship to Golus and Geula, relationship to children, and its relationship to its wings. It says it all right here. Kanesher. Right, exactly. Like a Nesher. And what's the Nesher? Of the wings. Korchi v'goyzi, you rip out here. The Rashi tells us that a nesher, the targum, he's calling the targum that a nesher, when it rips out its wings. Why would it do that? It appears that if you look at the pasuk, because it only rips out its wings when it's suffering, specifically over the loss of its children. So now, when there's a you are reunited with your children, you're not going to rip out your wings. You're going to let them grow nice and wide and beautiful. And embrace your children upon those wings. Whole world, it's a whole new world of interpretation. See, now, you see, it becomes very cheap when you say drush, that, oh, it's Limos HaMashiach, it's an airplane. We always like to say, what's this for? Eso, kanfei nisharim. I'm going to carry on the wings of eagles. Okay, we're going to fly Delta, or El Al, or United. Which airline is going to be the looks more like the Nesher to take us to Eretz Yisrael? What?
You know that the Tamanid, when they were first brought to Eretz Yisrael, had never seen an airplane.
We also associate. This is a very popular because we're groping in the darkness to find meaning. But look, there's something much more simpler, more fundamental, more basic. Look at the pasuk here. It gives it so much more real meaning. Not that the other parish is not also true. Okay, the words of the Torah are timeless, referring to Yimos HaMashiach. But look at this pasuk here. It creates a whole simple interpretation of what the pasuk there. I'm surprised no one says this, because unfortunately we don't learn Nach nearly as much as we should. So we don't come across something that's very, very simple. Okay.
By the way, the Aramaic here.
Yeah.
Nishra dimetaru kifoi. Kanesher shenashru knafav. It doesn't do it.
It happens by itself.
By itself.
The nasru. It falls out by itself.
But
then Rashi goes.
And you will have a situation.
Right, but look at Rashi. Rashi goes further. Rashi,
yeah, right. Rashi says
limroit, to pull out. Okay, here. Okay, so Rashi is saying something that's not the simple translation of the pasuk of the targum. The targum says dinasru, which simply means it falls up by itself, and then Rashi says derech hanesher. What? So what does Rashi mean? We got a problem.
The fact is that yeah. He doesn't have knafai.
How it came out, right?
He does it or whatever.
Okay, correct. Rashi is saying a very big. It's translating the words, not literally in the Targum. It's a problem. It's definitely an issue. All right, now let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak pasuk Tezayin Karchi v'goyzi Amar Kenegin Moresha Oy Adulam Oy Kenegin Kol Aretz. Rip out your hair. He's referring over here to these various cities that we mentioned in the previous pasuk. Pasuk tesvav, moreshom, adulam, oikene kol aretz fu derech mashal lemar kol ela aretz karchi v'gaizi. Pasuk over here is telling us, rip out your hair. Ki kineged aretz yidaber lekeneg yoshve haaretz. He's referring to the earth. He's referring over here to the land itself. The land is alive. The land has a life to it. Not just the people who live upon the land. There are two different words here. Karcha is you pull out with your bare hands. Goizi is where you use an implement, scissors, a knife. V'chein yas adam le'evil k'mash amar v'yogoz es reishoi. The Omar Gazi Nizrech Vahashlichi, another pasuk in Yirmiyah, and that this, by the way, is an old question. How can the Nevi'im tell a person to do something which the Torah categorically forbids? Loisosimu Karcha Bein Einechem Lemes. Lemes. So here it is for the children have gone into exile, so with L'chair it's all part of the same prohibition. Even if you'll tell me that it's not maybe technically also you'll find the legal loophole, obviously it's not the Ritzoyin HaBoyre. Hashem does not want us to do something like this. So it's very, very difficult question, because this is a very common expression of mourning that appears all over, even in the Kinos. All over, all the Navi make use of this idea is that the Navi is saying, oh, you're going to go into mourning, you're going to rip out your hair. How could he say that? The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Is the Navi limited by expressions of mourning that are permissible? There are other ways to express the fact that due to your averos, you're going to mourn. Why does he have to select something the Torah categorically forbids? I don't have a good answer. I never came across a good answer. The only idea is that part of the Churban is so great, you even lose sense of your religion. You lose sense of the Goyim. This is what the Goyim do. When the Goyim go into mourning, they rip out their hair. In Klal Yisrael, when they go into mourning, the mourning is so deep, they forget they're even Jewish. They lose their sense of Judaism. And
unfortunately, we even ate babies, right?
What? They eat their own children. So, yeah, but so that's certainly going to be us, right? It's lamal, but that's something that's a curse. That's lamal miderech hateva. It's not a halacha. See, it's not. It says when they cook their children, does it mean they cook their children alive? Or not? They cooked them, then they were no longer living. So, are you allowed to do that? No. You're not allowed to do that, but the Torah never explicitly says don't do that. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says, there's one of the Tayag mitzvahs says, don't eat your dead children. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah such a thing. Is it asr? Yes, it is. Why? We can figure out that it's asr. Mace, asr behana. Mace requires kikavartik berenu. You can figure out, a lamdan will come and show you 10 reasons why a person is not allowed to eat their child that's no longer living. But does the Torah explicitly say, I'm giving you one of the tayag mitzvahs, do not eat your children? Doesn't say that. When it comes to creating a bald spot, pulling out hair over the dead, the Torah says, lo yikruchu karcha bein einechem lemeis. The pasuk says, do not do so. So it's more difficult for us to understand why the Nevi'im, it's not just Micha that says this. Yirmi, he quotes something from Sukkim that says, and the only, and I don't have an answer, the only idea is to say is that your sense of who you are, it's like a double curse. Not only will you will mourn in a non-Jewish way. It's like a double curse. Because the mourning in a Jewish way, that itself is a nechama. Many people, unfortunately, you see this by it's not a pleasant thing. People, Rachman Litzlan, who suffer tragedy, so you can't deal with it. Okay, most people cannot deal with it. They shut down. So what do? They have to shift their focus to something else. So all of a sudden, they become very religious at that time. During okay, what do I do now? Okay.
Maybe because it doesn't say a match later.
Yes. Right. I know. I said that. Technically, you'll be able to show me why it's not an Isser D'Oraisa, because they're not known die, they went into Golos, you don't do between your eyes, you do it in the other part of your body. Correct. Technically, we can maneuver that we're not here violating an Isser D'Oraisa. But it's certainly, it's not in the spirit of the halacha. If the Torah says this should not be done in a very precise way, it's not logical that it should be done altogether in any situation of mourning. So, I know, technically we can maneuver that we're not going to violate Misra Deraisa. But it's not the spirit of the halacha. The Torah says this should not be done, so we don't do it. Like, you know, people are very disturbed during the 9 days. You're not supposed to listen to music. That's the halacha. We don't, not that, it's the minig. The minig is we don't listen to music during the 9 days. We not really shouldn't listen to music the whole year round. Tua. Okay, so what do? We outsmart the halacha. We have a cappella. A cappella, so then there's different types of a cappella. There's some that's, you know, schwach. And then there's some stuff that is so sophisticated, it's even better than the real thing. It's even better than the real thing. Okay, you want to go buy, you're not allowed to have meat. So you can have, you'll go to a hotel and they'll serve a lunch. We'll serve a dinner with fish that is far superior to any meat you're gonna be able to get for yourself. So what do we do? You take the halacha and you just maneuver yourself a legal loophole to do whatever you want without technically violating the halacha. Is that correct to do? I mean, it depends on the situation. But many times you have to stop it. Like, I saw a sign yesterday. I really could not believe this. This really caught me. I thought I saw it all. But this really caught my eye. This certain restaurant, it says, I see them every hour on the hour. Every hour. You come to the restaurant. Every hour on the hour.
No, you got to have the seam first.
Not necessarily.
But you can't wash it, do you?
Not necessarily. I mean, we don't do it. But not necessarily. You're coming to a su'uda that's in honor of the seam. Well, seeing is just a ceremony. It's not, there's no halacha.
Can you hear a seam over the radio?
Some hold, yeah, you could. That's what that is an issue when it comes. It's much more of an issue when it comes to Erev Pesach. It's a tainus. They're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach. Tainus b'chayim.
Is that the kana? It shouldn't be done only siyum of the year, otherwise you would have to make a shachriyana.
A shachriyana. I mean, it's a little bit over the top to advertise. To advertise. You come to the restaurant, we're serving, don't worry about it. There's a siyum every hour on the hour. What?
They used to look forward to vacation than 9 days.
Right.
They want to make more money.
Absolutely.
The meat people used to look forward to vacation.
Right, no more. Now it's an opportunity to make money. Not for everyone. Listen, no, these are yechidim. Not them. Don't blacklist the whole Klal Yisrael. Okay, these are yechidim who are. There are certain people that need this, and then you'll argue, yes, we live in a generation where every have to pat everyone on the back, and every have to give unconditional love, and all of this is all part of the unconditional love that no one should chas v'shalom go off the derech. Who am I to say? I'm not coming to argue, but sometimes it's a little bit like, wow, a little over the top. No, don't you think that every hour on the hour? The Chazal say during the 9 days, you don't eat meat. You don't eat meat, zechel chorban, that we'll discuss later on during the halacha. So what are you playing games? You want to make a seam? Good, make a seam. I'll come to your seam also. There's a degree to how far you go. I mean, at least I think so. You'll tell me you're catering to a certain type of audience. All right, maybe. Maybe is the whole Klal Yisrael in this Madrega where everyone has sunk to such a level? I don't think so. I think overall the impression, and then it takes down everyone else. When you have like look at America, only 3% of America are people who engage in this activity of a, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, only
LGBT.
Correct. So you would think, but you would think the whole America engages in this. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they think. You go to people who don't know anything. People only know, they don't know the facts from far. They think the whole country is like this. 3%. It's only 3%. So they make a lot of noise. So when you make a lot of noise, what happens? You bring down the whole country has to go to the lowest common denominator. Why? Why does the whole country have to be brought down to the lowest common denominator? Why? Why? We're the majority. The normal people are the majority. So why do they have everyone? So let them. You want to do it's a free country. Do whatever you want, but don't go make yourself into the make the whole world. In halach, it's the same thing. This attitude has crept into our society. Where you open up the newspaper, see him every hour on the hour. It's not the whole society. This is a yechidim, and if they need it, good. Gesunte hate. Different strokes for different folks. But to bring down the whole society, this is not a derech.
I don't think the fooling around and the joking around and the pull of it at that barbecue is going to negate the whole idea.
Of course it does.
It's a joke. Religious.
Novel b'reshu satira. But what are they going to argue? What are they going to argue? If we're not going to do this, then what are these people going to be doing? They're going to be doing things that are going to be totally... off. And this way at least is an opportunity, a little appreciation, you come together, the little Torah, a little Dvar Torah, a little awareness. I mean, yes and no. Obviously, to each his own.
Rav Soloveitchik in the 60s, he was preaching the fact that it's, a lot of people say you can't go to the movies in the 3 weeks, the 9 days. He said it's better to see a sad movie than go bowling with 20 people together in a group. He said, that's awesome.
A group. Reyos.
If you're going bowling, it's okay. I mean, he was talking to the students who make a group outing to go someplace together. That's also, he said, if you're going to, it wasn't before the movie, but when you're going to see Schindler's List by yourself, that would be okay, basically. As opposed to going in a group someplace.
Okay, I hear. I definitely... It's also a big social. I ran the Lower East Side. It was a big social event. Even over here, in front of Lubavitch. Brooklyn College. It's a big social event. It's not so simple. Okay, let's go further. Everybody said, let's go further. Further, let's go further in the Radak. So therefore that, okay, that was the point that I wanted to make. Let's review the point I wanted to make over here is the reason why it's saying the Nevi'im, they make use of the expression of mourning in a pasuk, in a method that is categorically forbidden, is because that's all part of the curse. And here I got cut off from what the idea was trying to say. Today, unfortunately, there are people, I've seen this unfortunately a few times, where when there's a very difficult situation, the only way to distract the mind is just to follow the halacha, is to look for an outlet to distract the mind. What is the halacha? To become extremely meticulous in the laws of avelos. Person is suffering, so now, what do I do now? What do I do now? And then after this point in time, what exactly is the halacha? And the people, they get very, very busy in these nitty-gritty, these very small details of the laws of avelos, and it distracts them from the overwhelming tragedy that they're dealing with. And many will argue that it's a very good thing, because some people need a distraction. And if you're not going to give them a halachic distraction, all of the intricate laws of Avelus to busy themselves with, who knows? What are they going to do? So it's, in a way, for many people, it's a very good, healthy distraction. So that can be, some can argue, therapeutic. Since Chazal have created a very detailed list of halachas, and that was put together with a lot of thought and a lot of ideas and thought and insight was injected into the halachas, it will help a person to be able to slowly come to terms with what he has now on his plate. So that can be sometimes a good thing. Here, the curse is you're not going to even have that. Rachmanu litzlan, a person is suffering and he cannot deal with the trauma, cannot deal with the situation. So the curse is you're not going to even have halacha at your side to give you a distraction, to give you therapy, to give you a derech to move forward until you can deal with it. And that's the curse. The curse, instead of what are you going to do? You're going to behave like the goyim. And when the goyim, when they have a tragedy, what do? They do things that the Torah does not allow us to do. They rip out their hair, they gash themselves, they cause themselves to bleed, and they do these horrible things, which the Torah categorically forbids. The Torah gave us halachas how to deal with trauma. And the curse is that not only is there going to be Rachmanu Litzlan, a tragedy, you're not going to be able to deal with the tragedy in a Torah-dical way. You're going to come on and use the methods of the Goyim, which obviously is not something which is very pleasant and correct. Okay, let's now take a look at the next words of the Radak. The Radak over here says, Kigalu Mimeich, the children, and we deliver them, sorry, next one, Al Bnei Tanugoyich, on your children, Al derech shekinen Yirmiyah b'nei Tzion ha'yikarim. Yirmiyah mourned over the b'nei Tzion ha'yikarim, over the children. In fact, we're going to learn today, start kinois. I think the first kina makes mention of children. The bein ubas of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. There's a whole kina devoted to that theme that we say during the day. But if I'm not mistaken, the second or third kina we're going to learn today, kinois, the very beginning of the kina, I think it's the second kina. You say only Mitzvah Shabbos. This year we say Mitzvah Shabbos. It makes mention of the Bein Ubas of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, and Yirmiyahu focused specifically on them. And he's writing exactly what he's writing. Al Bnei Tanu Goich, over your delightful children. There's no time in a person's life when a parent has nachas from their child, like when they are eligible to get married. And al derech shekinen Yirmiyahu b'nei Tzion hayikarim, and then he goes on to describe specifically. We'll read the kina. Yirmiyah, He had a nevuah where Chazal interpreted was referring specifically to the Beinu Bas Rabbi Shmuel. Next. Harchivi karchech kanesher kianesher yo'uf lamala mikol oifas. This is going back to the ruler mystical. We learned this before in another mefarish. The echad, we learned this in the Mitzudos Sion. We learned this. The echad le'eser shanim yo'uf me'oy lamala arho avir ho'elyoin hasamuch legagal ha'esh u'meirov ho'chumoy yimortu kinafa v'tipol noitzasai. This is not what Rashi says. Rashi appeared to learn the nesher as a regular bird that we all can relate to. The Radak is referring to some type of mythical creature called a Nesher. There are many mythical creatures in the Torah, and this is one of them. And every 10 years, it goes, it flies, it has a need to fly all the way up high, very, very high, to the sun, whatever this means, and the feathers are burnt off its back. All right, let's take a look over here at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Tes Zion. Karchi lechen karchi reishach v'goyzi sarech al b'nei tanugayach ki yolu b'meich u'moysif harchiv karchi kanesher. Rip out, make a bald spot like a nesher. Sha'ifayis ha'choyim sim yeish lechem choyli shalmitas ha'noitzayis. Okay, so we hear he has a new interpretation. And he learns that the birds that are choyim sim, that are predators, they have a choyli, it's an illness that is germane to birds that are predators, where their feathers fall off. Biyichud specifically, hanesher ad sheliv asoif yimareit kol noitzoisav, all of its feathers v'yamus machmazel. Look at that. So he says something that none of the other commentators say. It dies because of this. Now notice over here, there's a lot of different interpretation about this nesher. The Rashi quoted the Targum, which tells us that the noitzoitz is really a reference to the wings, not just a reference to the feathers. Other commentators are not saying that it refers to the wings. The wings remain intact. It's the feathers that are growing on the wings that are vulnerable. Without feathers, they can't fly. Is that always the case? Okay.
Even if the feathers are damaged, they can't.
They can't. Okay, so but there's a difference between the wing, which is the basar and the bone, versus the feathers that are attached to the wing. Okay, they're two separate things. They're not necessarily the same thing.
If they can't fly, then they can't find food.
Then they're going to die because of that. Okay, in chalami. So or maybe there's a lack of, it's just an illness that there's no protection. The feather is provided. Doesn't say exactly what it does. Machmazeh. What he says over here, a new idea, is that when the feathers are lacking, that is a cause of death. The yesh lefarish, shereson alaymar, techila karuchi v'goyzi al b'nei ta'anugayich, be'oidem etzleich, ki al yidei ha'ta'anugim techetel la'Hashem. The acharka, charchi v'karchich, ki golimech. He's saying over here an entirely new idea. The b'nei ta'anugayich, according to the Malbim, does not mean that your children that you love, that are the apple of your eye, that are the delight. It means your children that are a bunch of spoiled brats. It means cry over your children that are living with a silver spoon, have been brought up with a silver spoon, that have ta'anugim. Every little mishigas that they want, you give them. There's no musar. There's no discipline. This is what you should cry about. Cry about the fact that they are ta'anugim. They demand of you to live a life of luxury, because that is going to destroy them. That live without musar, you shall rip out your hair while your children are with you, and you witness the fact that they're not living with any discipline. And then later, Rachmana Litzlan, when they disappear, when they can't handle the nisyonis of life that they've created for themselves because they live the life of tanugim, then is the next level of what he says is to harchivi karchaseich, is to make a bold spot. That's a later, another madrig. It's a very frightening interpretation that the Malbim is providing. That's not what of the other commentators dear to say. Okay, let's now go to Perek Beis. Perek Beis, Hoy Choshvei Oven Ufale Ra al Mish Kivoisan. Okay, so this is something which I think we learned about in Yirmiyah. We had this very similar idea. People who are staying up the whole night plotting. Woe to those people that are thinking about doing Averos. Upar Leira, those that carry out. Evildoers. People that implement their machashavas, al mishkevaisam. All of this takes place when they're lying on their beds. Be'or haboiker ya'asuha. In the morning, they immediately take action to carry out their plans. Ki yesh le'el yadam. They have the power to do so. This is a play on Lavan. Yesh le'el yadi la'sois lochem ro. I have the power in my hand to do to you imochem ro. But Hashem came to me in the middle of the night while I'm lying on my bed. You see how it goes back over here? It's very interesting over here that Yibidavka picks this pasuk over here. The same exact words that Lavan said. And when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to Lavan and say to Lavan, don't you dare? Emesh, last night, when I was fast asleep. So here, it's just the opposite. Hashem is not coming. Hashem is not coming to people in the middle of the night to tell them not to do it. But instead, they plan and plot, just like Lavan, to do harm to their fellow man. And then in the morning, they proceed to put into motion their plans. Why? Like Lavan said, Yesh le'el yodi la'asos imochem ra. So it's mamash, a perfect parallel to Lavan. The only difference is, Lavan, Hashem came to Lavan and told Lavan, don't you dare. And these individuals that we are discussing, that is the subject of this passage, this section, Hashem is not coming to them and telling them, don't you dare. Why not? Because we are deserving of punishment. So Hashem is allowing one man to swallow up his fellow man. Let's do one more passage. V'chomdu sadois v'gozolu. Each individual has a desire, they covet fields that do not belong to them and they steal them. Uvatim. And they covet homes, v'nosau, they carry them away. How do you carry away a house? Well, today it's not so hard. Today, you have a crane, and you have a wide load. You have to go to the country, and you see they're carrying on these flatbed trucks, homes. You carry them away, the oshku gever, and they rob. Oishek means to rob, or it also means extortion. Where you force a person to sell against his will, uveisoi v'ish nachalaso, you steal, you rob from a man his home, and each man from is a gever, and there's an ish, poetry, his inheritance. Let's now see these two psukim together. First, go to Mitzvah David, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, back on page. The Mitzvah David is, is there an aliyah? I'm back on page 460. Hoi, choy shvei oven. Yesh lis oinein al elu asher balaylo oidam al mishkevaisam choshvim la'asoysav. There are people that are lying on their beds and they're plotting to do evil. Uvoze poilim ra, and they carry out their evil. Ki einena machashav levad ki boho lidei maise. It's not just a plan. It's an actual action. They implement their plans. They carry out their plans. Next page. The next page. Page 463. Be'or ha'boiker miyor kishayir ha'boiker yimaharu la'asos machashavtam ki yesh hakoyach biyadam la'asos mashereitzim ki lo yimotzei mi meichev biyadam. No one is holding them back. Ish hayosha be'en av yaseh. Pasuk beis v'chomdu sadeis v'chashay yachemedu sadeis achedim oimdim aleihem v'goyz l'mehem. When a person has a desire to steal someone else's property, they go ahead. No one holds them back. They rob from one man in Beisoy. When the balabais oimed kinegdoi, roideu makeu v'oishek imkein es haguf v'es hamamoin. If someone stands in their way to prevent them from stealing, they just run them over. They beat the living daylights out of them in order that they can get whatever they want. It just means to over here is that it's a lawless land. people are stealing, they're doing whatever they want, and no one stands in their way. A horrible situation. Rashi, the entire night, they're up and planning how they're going to carry out their evil plans. Pasuk Beis, Uvatim v'naso, Musaf al v'chamdu, Chomdim batim, we repeat the word chamdu, these evil people, they desire, they covet their friends' homes, not just their fields, they want to take possession of the actual home. V'nasu, the word v'nasu literally means to carry. Here it cannot mean carry. You don't typically pick up a house and put a house on your shoulder. So that's why Rashi says, k'moy v'la kochu, it means over here that they take. It's a poetic expression they take for themselves. Let's see. Ki yikach ishisha. Is to carry. Marriage is to carry away. To carry the bride into the threshold, right? On television. Okay, here, right. It's an expression. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak plus alpha and base. Hoi, choshvei oven parle ra. Hoyalim rabel vavam loimar koch vekoch nasem mochar. Okay, this is a very interesting idea. Why at night? Why does the Pasuk say here that people are planning in the middle of the night? Why aren't they planning in the middle of Shir? Right? They're planning in the middle of Shir. So people, I guess, they're just, that's when they have time to think. Problem today is we don't have time to think. I always found it would be very interesting is that when I was in Yeshiva, so there were certain shiurim I had to go to because I have no other choice. Or in college, you have to go to class, you don't have a choice. And I didn't understand literally one word that the Rebbe said. Now, there were certain classes that I went to in college also, not one word. I had to learn everything on my own, and that's life, right? And I always said to myself, I can't wait until this is over. This is so boring. I can't wait until it's over. And then it was over, and I didn't have to go. And I noticed this about myself, is that I wasn't very happy. I was a little bit confused. And I realized, is that during that time I used to go to that shiur every single day, or those boring college classes, it was very good for me because it gave me time to think. To think about life. And it just forced me into a situation where I'm just sitting there like do nothing. I can't go. I can't read. I can't do anything because that'll be thrown out of class. Disrespectful. And what do? I don't understand what he's saying. My mind wanders. And you plan. And it's interesting. Many people, they're so busy they don't have time to think. So when does a person finally have some time to think? When he goes home and he lies down. He lies down until he falls asleep. He can think. That's the time when the mind is, you have some free time. Some people, they fall asleep in a second, but some people don't fall asleep so quickly, and you have time to think. I always joke around with people, why is it that Jews are always so successful? It's a nasty joke. Why are Jews so, from Jews, Jews are very successful in business, and their counterparts, the Goyim, they're not as successful as the from Jews who engage in the same profession. So I would joke it's because the frum Jews, they have time three times a day. They have time to think during Shemona Esrei, Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv. So how many people are really thinking about the Perish HaMilos? So instead, what are you doing during Shemona Esrei? You're planning out your day. Come to Shacharis, half an hour. I'm making a cheshbon. What do I have to do today for my business? The Goyim don't have that half an hour. They get out of bed, they run to work. They don't have time to think. Jews, during davening, they're thinking, they're planning out their whole day. It's a bitter joke, but there's a lot of truth to it. And when you have some time to think for a few minutes, it puts you in a very different perspective of where are you going and what are you doing. So that's why over here he's making that point over here, is that these people, they're spending the time they have available when they lie down. That's very valuable time. Time to think. And during the time they have, that's valuable to think, instead of thinking about life, where they're heading, what's the purpose of all this, what's with their family, their children, they're using this valuable time that they have to think, they're using it to think about how they can steal someone else's money. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to take that precious time you have and use it to think about stealing someone else's property instead of using it to think about the important things in life. Ba'or ha-boiker yasuha b'yashkamas b'yashkama yasuha machshav ha-ra shechashu ki yesh koyach b'yodam la'ashoik ho-aniyim. It's within their power. Pasuk beis in the radak. V'chamdu sadois ha-chemda hi ba-leiv. He's giving us some nice translation of the words. The word chemda. What is the meaning of chemda? Chemda, he says, is an emotion. Loi sach moidu. It's the last of the aseres hadibros. Loi sach moid. Chazal say it's the heart, you know, the aseres hadibros is koilel kol hatarakula. Each one of the dibros, koilel within it, you take the tariag mitzvahs, Chazal say each one of the tariag mitzvahs can fit into one of the aseres hadibros. So that means that Hashem gave us the entire Torah by Har Sinai. And the last thing that he gave us was Lesachmait. And the assumption is that the mitzvahs go up in levels of difficulty. Right? You can't go to the next class until you pass the prerequisites. So the end of the Torah, the Gemara of Matan Torah, the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah is Loi Sachmait. How could a person not naturally desire, covet something that his friend has that is beautiful, that he wants? Yesterday's daf. What was it? Someone has yesterday's daf. Is Kole Ben Yefune. He gave his daughter to Osniel Ben Kenaz. What was her name? Her name was Oscar. Why was Oscar? Oscar comes from the word anger. Oscar, Ayin Samach Kuf. Achsa. It comes from the word anger. Why was she called anger? That's not, no one would call their daughter, what, she was an angry woman? So Chazal say, any man that looked at her and then looked at his wife would get angry. Because his wife was ugly as sin relative to this beautiful woman. So she caused men to get angry. They looked at her, wow, what a beautiful woman. And then they looked at their wife and they said, why did I marry her? look at this beautiful woman. So we learned this in the daf. So the people, they said, this is shocking. Shocking thing to say. First, let's say, what are these men looking at another woman? We live in a generation where if you go and you look at another woman, they put you in the harem. So what are people looking at her for? What are they looking at her? They're looking at their wife. What's going on in this Gemara over here? What's this all about? I don't know. I have no idea. But the Torah says exactly that. Le'sachmoid eishes re'echa. And Chazal said that's the hardest mitzvah. How can you control your natural emotion of a desire to possess and to accomplish and to have something that gives you satisfaction? The entire world is built on kinah. Shlomo HaMelech in Kohelet says, "V'reisias kol hamasim, I saw ki he kinas ish mereyehu." The fuel that drives, the energy that drives the entire world is kinah. That's what it says in Kohelet. The only reason why what drives the economy, you have a nice car, I want a nice car. So well, there's a,
right. It's just wanting the other guy's nice car, that's the problem.
Kinah. Whatever, but it's all part, that's what Shlomo Melo says. Kinas ish mereyehu. The energy, the fuel that drives the entire world is kinah. What is kinah? Kinah, in essence, is a competition. It's a cousin, or it's just a synonym for the word chemda. So there is. How do you? But the Torah says you're not allowed to have a lulei sachmite. Yet if there would not be an inyan, there would not be a kinna in this world that a person wants to have what his friend has, the world could not exist. So how do you reconcile what it says in the Torah lulei sachmite with a kinna v'hataiva v'hakavod moitzin esa adam min ha'olam? And Shlomo HaMelech says that kinna is the fuel that keeps the world going. So how do you reconcile these two? I don't know. So that's a good kinna. That's a good kinna. But that's a kinna in Torah and Yerushalayim. But what about the economy? Parnasa.
There's two sides to all of these emotions.
So you always say it. It's the balance.
It's the control.
It's a very difficult balance.
Keep it under control.
It's a very, very, very difficult balance. Very. So here he writes, V'chomdu sadais, ha'chem lehi belev. In their hearts, they have a desire for the property of their friends. They have a desire to purchase their property. Then, the word v'nasu means to take away. He translates the word v'nasohu to mean force, extortion. Okay, they force their fellow man to release it. V'ashku gever u'beisoy v'ish nachalosa kofal ho'in b'mila shoynais, poetic repetition, u'perush she'im ya'amoy bal habayis kinegdoy, if the victim stands in your way, you'll run him over. The gozle m'menu beisoy, so there ya'keyu, you'll hit him, v'yasrehu, you'll tie him down, v'zehu oishek haguf, that is oppression of the body, v'hineh ya'ashku haguf emam, physical extortion. Okay, all different types of abuse, psychological abuse, physical abuse, v'chulu v'chulu. Let's now look at the Malbim, these two psukim together. The Malbim, pasuk aleph, hoy chesh avim poy le'ara, be'eis shehem al mishkavaysam, misboididim b'fnei atzmam, they go into his boididus, instead of being a Talmud from the Baal Shem Tov, and going out into the forest, into his boididus, and to think about the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the forest, and to talk to Hashem. Could you imagine, you go into the forest, no cell phone, you leave it at home, your smartphone, and you go out into the forest, make sure there are no bears there, and you just talk to Hashem. His boididus, isn't it an incredible thing? An incredible thing of his boididus. So instead of doing that, in order to think about Hashem, a person goes into his boididus to brainstorm a think tank, how they can steal other people's money. Night is not a time to actually put into motion. It's a time to plan. They think about how to steal the gam poilim as hora, or mefarish ech yitzuyar sheyifalu el ezra. Now he explains in detail. Achar shebar haboiker, take it immediately. Ya'asua ki yesh lel yadam, they have the power to do so. V'imkei machshavtam la'sais oven hudoy mekiilu huhein poilim oisai achar shein davam akiv shlo yichlu loitzi machshavtam lidei maise. Once they can do it, so their machshava counts as a mice. We have a general rule in Yadus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold man accountable for his machshavas. But if he carries out his plans, then retroactively, Hashem holds you guilty for your thoughts. The person is mechashev to do an avera, and he does not succeed in doing an avera, man is not held accountable by the Jews for a machshava alone. But a machshava, so you are, well, you get credit. But a machshava raw alone, there is no punishment. But if the machshava raw, if it percolates and if it turns in, if it results in action, and then not only is the fellow punished for the action retroactively, he will be punished for the machshava raw as well. That's a very scary idea. V'chomdu, and that's to some idea he is alluding to that over here as well. V'chomdu, kishayachmedu sadeh shel chaveroi, when they desire, kishayachmedu sadeh shel chaveroi yigzalu oisa biyad chazaka, when they desire the sadeh, they take it biyad chazaka, v'achakach yachmedu batim v'abayis hu b'ir v'yefshol l'gazla b'farhesya, You can't steal a bias before Hesia. That's why Vinasus, now he here, the Malbum is coming from all the commentators, he's coming over here. Everyone is troubled. Cannot deny the fact, everyone here on the page is very troubled with the word Vinoso. You have a bias, and the literal translation is you're going to pick up the bias with your bare hands and carry it away. What are you talking about? This is not fantasy land. You don't carry away a bias in your bare hands, put it on your shoulder. So that's why Rashi says, no, it means Vila Kochu, into your Rishus, you will take into your possession. The Radak also took note, he quoted them, the Targum means, it means here to force. It doesn't just mean that you're going to take it in a polite way. You're going to be nasty. You're going to force the fellow to sell it to you. He here, the Malbum is also dealing, coming to deal with this very difficult word in this context, and he says it means Yisu oisoi derech maso umaton. You're going to manipulate. You're a manipulator. You're a macher. You're going to know how to go and play games, and when it's all over, the end will be that you will have it in your possession. You'll pull a fast one on your friend. You'll do some business deals. Shayachalif hasadais asher gozdu ba'arabotim. You'll switch fields which you stole ba'arabotim. V'acharzev v'oshku geru beiso. The end of the day is going to be you're going to engage in extortion. Shachar hachalipin lo yidnu lo habayis. After you make this exchange, you're not going to give them back. Whatever, some type of technique. Shazeniko oishik shemakim milmilos lois amagi aloi. Extortion. In halacha, you'll get away with it. You're not going to be able to get caught. But you've done unethical behavior. It's easy to do this. The same exact thing. Different ideas, whatever. Not going, I don't even know details. What are different techniques you're going to make, engage in order to unethically acquire property? I have a friend. I used to work for him part-time. Until he fired me, because I wouldn't produce results. Mamash fired me, but until he fired me, he told me something. It was amazing what he told me. He says that he's in a certain business, and he has a competitor. He has a few competitors. It's a very very good business. You make a lot of money in this business. So they sell a certain type of product. They manufacture it in China and they import it, and they don't. He was much smaller relative to his competitors, but they befriended him, and they watched him like a hawk, that he should not. To try to put him out of business. And what do they do? He says what he told me, and I believe him. He said there are certain times out of the blue you get a contract, you get a call. We need it's in the construction industry. There's certain product that they need in the construction industry, and you get a call, you need a certain product, and you don't always have it, because it's expensive to manufacture, and a lot of different things. So they told him, if you ever need it, come to us. We always have extra. So kachava, he got a deal, he worked very hard, made some cold calls and v'chulu, and he got it a few times, and he didn't have exactly what he needed. He called them up and they gave him whatever he needed. And then when it came to pay them, they told him, nah, you don't have to pay us now. Don't worry. You don't have to pay us. You'll pay us in a few months when your cash flow is loosens up. And it's happened a few times. And they didn't ask him to pay. They said, well, you'll have to, right now we have it just lying around in the warehouse. Don't worry. We don't need it. Take it. And when you'll have time, you'll have money, you'll pay us. Then, about a year later, they presented him with the bill. And the bill was overwhelming. And basically, they said, no, you have to really pay. We need the money now. We have different things going on in our business. We need the money now. And if you don't give us the money now, we'll send the collection agency after you to pay the money. And basically, he would go out of business. He would have to basically liquidate whatever he had, and he said he realized it was clear as day to him that they just swindled him. That they knew exactly what they were doing. They were very jealous of him. They saw that he had a niche, he had a technique, he was successful, and they wanted to put him out of business. And the way they put him out of business was to give him what he needed, not to charge him, and then to come down on him in one shot. We need you to pay the balance now. We're expanding. We're building a new warehouse, a new factory, whatever it is. We need the money. And it was all our there's some crazy excuse, our whole fine, and the lawyer, when he made the calculation to go further, it was all based upon this, that you owe us money. It wasn't based upon owing them money. It was timed exactly to put the guy out of business. And he told me he just could not believe it. And he almost went out of business. He had to go take out a big loan to pay it back, whole story, and he survived. Baruch Hashem, he survived. And he learned the lesson. Don't trust. Don't trust.
He did everything legally, though.
Yeah! They did, but he didn't chop what they were doing. They were very shrewd and clever. Their goal was to put him out of business. This is unethical behavior. They're devising a plan, a very, very shrewd plan, to let the guy, take, and you're nice, you say the nice words, we'll help you out, you help us out, we'll help you out, and this and that. And Soif Dover Machshava Tchila, he realized it was just a plan to put him out of this. According to the law, they're clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle. You go to Beis Din, they're not Jewish, they weren't Jewish, but if let's say you would have two Jews doing exactly that, you go to Beis Din, there's not a word a Dayan can say to these people if they were Jewish. But is this Yosher? Is this Yashrus? To go out, come devise such a plan to go put the free marketplace? Just because you can do it according to Halacha, is this a technique that is, you can say, is Yashar? Or is this Mamish? This is corruption. This is corruption. Okay? So this is what he's saying over here. This is really, I believe, this is what he's saying over here. He's saying over here is, you got away with it. Very good for you, Yashar Koyach. You got away with it. Is this the right thing? Is this how you engage in business? This is the derech. I know what's so sad today is that Jews will do the same thing today, and they'll say, the Goyim do it. This is what the Goyim do. So therefore, if the Goyim do it, we can do it. And you can't survive if you don't do things like this. Is that correct? Well, the Nevi'im over and over talk, they write about this, is exactly all you have. You're very, smell what it says here. They have very sophisticated techniques how to take advantage of someone else, which is within the framework of the law and the framework of the halacha, and you'll get away with it, a clean slate. But this is the ultimate form of corruption, and it's this, for this, that there's a churban. This is the churban in Klal Yisrael. It's because there's no yosher. There's halacha, but there's no yosher. Yosher is Rosh Etevos, you all know this, I told you 10 times. Yiskadal, the Yiskadash, Shmei, Rabbah, Rosh Etevos, Yosher is dead. You can say Kaddish and Yosher. And Chaval, that's why we have a Korban.